Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. As I sat before the Lord, I said, okay, God, we see a whole lot of changes taking place, you know, with this new administration, the new way things are done and things that are being rewritten. I said, oh, God, give us time. Give us time. Don't just send your judgment, but give us time to win souls to you, God. Give us time, oh, God, to be built up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Give us time, God. And one of the things that came to mind was, are you embracing God's word? How important is God's word to you? Because that is our life and our breath, is the settled word of God. The Bible says forever settled in heaven. His word, thy word. And thy word is truth. And so I came to a place this week where God took me back. By the grace of God, God has kept me for 32 years. Amen. And it's been a wonderful ride. I have no complaints. Even through all the trials and tribulations, even all the setbacks, even my own personal disappointments, I have no qualm with God. Can I get amen? Yes. Matter of fact, he's the one that has come by and saved my bacon many times. Many times. How many have been there before where, God, I saved my bacon here? It feels like the whole world has come against me. I feel like I'm drowning in my own sorrow. And so we live in perilous times. I hope you know that. And the enemies of our nation are rising up as well. And so we need to take heed in the time that we live in. And so I'm going to ask you, did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
Did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
Okay, let's all stand and open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 66. And let's read together verses 1 through 2. And as you can look on the screen real quick, if you have cell phones or does anyone have a pager anymore? But turn off, you know, put them in the off or silent position, your fax machines, you know, your emails, everything else. And let's go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Help Us to Embrace Thy Word. Help us, Lord, to embrace thy word. And so are we there in Isaiah 66? We're going to read verses 1 through 2. If you didn't bring your Bibles, I have the Word of God on the screen for us. Amen. And it reads, Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearing and reader of his word. You may be seated. My friends, what we believe about the Bible is absolutely crucial. I hope you know that. We live in a cancel culture now. Everything wants to be canceled out. And let me just say this, our voice of truth wants to be canceled out now. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so there's a lot of compromise taking place around our nation. But I'm here to let you know that we will not compromise the Word of God. Can I get an amen? We need to stand on truth. God said in His Word, thy Word is truth. And every jot and tittle that God has written in His Word, you could take it to the bank. Can I get an amen? God is not like a man that could lie. Everything in the Word of God is true. And it will edify us. It will build us up. It will convict us. It will restore us. It will heal us. It will raise us up. It'll be the lifter of our head. Can I get amen? And so we need His Word more than ever before in the history of this nation, because things are about to change. I hope you know that. Things will change. And right now, I believe that the enemies to the cross are mounting up. But we are an army of the living God. Can I get amen? Did you know when you got saved, you got recruited? That's right. You have been recruited in the army of God. And so, saints, whether we've never read it or read it every day, each of us must make up our own mind regarding this wonderful book. What does it mean to you? What does God's Word mean to you? What is God's Word saying to you? Can I get amen? Some people think that it was written by many different imperfect men and must therefore contain errors. I'm here to let you know it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. God used sinful men to write His holy word that's forever settled in heaven. Others believe it's outdated and irrelevant for today because it was written so long ago. This is why I love God's word, because it's still standing. It's still standing the test of time. However, saints of God, many true Christians are convinced that the Bible is God's word. Do you believe that the Bible is God's word? Which He has protected from error throughout the ages. Look what Jesus said. He says, sanctify them through thy what? Truth, for thy word is truth. How many believe that? You have to believe that. Everything He said is true. Jesus also said this in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so, my friends, when we are fully assured that the Lord has given us a book without errors, we have a strong conviction that guides our lives. And God will not allow us to stray in error. And how many has heard the word conviction before? Okay. A conviction is something that we are so thoroughly convinced is true that we'll take a stand for it regardless of its consequences. But a preference is a belief that could change under certain conditions. But convictions stand hold. Let's look at what Webster's dictionary, what conviction means. It's a fixed or firm belief. It's no clever argument, no persuasive fact or theory that could make a dent in his conviction in the righteous of his position. And we are positioned by Christ. Amen? God has imputed His righteousness upon you and I, upon sinful men. He imputed it, and we believed it and received it, and now we're walking in faith. Can I get amen? So, saints, when we begin to understand the truth of God's Word, we'll develop an awesome respect for the Scriptures. I hope you know that. How many believe that the Word of God is true? I'm going to try to drive this point all through this message. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Look what we opened up. We're going to read it again. The Lord said, look at this. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Just imagine how vast God is. The Bible says that He fills all space. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. We serve a God that spoke this whole entire world into existence, the whole entire universe. And before He spoke it all into existence, He already knew your name. Aren't you so blessed to know that He already knew your name? And He knew the day that you would come into this world, and that the moment of conception, He has been guarding your life. That's right. You're still here today, aren't you? Huh? He's watching over you. He's taking care of you. He's supplying all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Look at this, verse 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. The Bible says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And so when we come in a spirit of humility before the Lord, you, guess what? You have now his attention. It's the ones that come to him in pride or has pride written all over them. And they walk in a type of arrogance that only God can see. I like how Brother G, he's not here. Pray for him. He's sick right now. But I like how he would say it in layman's terms. Some people know how to fake the funk. And they do it really good. But God sees, he peers through all that. He sees the real you. He sees your motives, your agenda. He sees every aspect of your life. This is why we need to embrace the word and say, oh God, search me. And if there's any wicked thing in me, search it out, God. I give it to you. I cannot take it away, but you can. And it's done supernaturally. Because the moment you try to do it on your own strength, you're going to crash and burn, and it's going to be a repeated cycle in your life. You'll never win on your own. Can I get an amen? We need God every moment. And so as we examine our lives, we must determine whether we live by convictions or preferences. Convictions, preferences. The Bible has a fourfold purpose. Number one, to reveal the one true God. Praise God. Look what 2 Peter says. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, what? Jesus Christ. He is the one true God. He was God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen amongst angels, raised up into glory, hallelujah, and many seen him walk before them. How many of you would have loved to have been in that time to see Jesus face to face? Did you know that you are blessed no differently because you believe on his name? And we've never seen him face to face. Isn't that something? And so, secondly, how to explain to be saved. Can you truly explain to someone, this is how you are saved? I'm just going to go over two scriptural references right now, because in the book of Acts, that was actually the ecclesia, the birth of the church. That supernatural thing that took place in the book of Acts is still here for today. Can I get an amen? And you know, there's a lot of easy believism in Christianity. But one thing that why there's still well-intended people, they still keep stumbling and stumbling and stumbling, is because some of them have truly never repented. See, when you repent before a holy God, that's when he takes your heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh. That's when he does the supernatural. He puts his super on your natural. And he makes something beautiful in his time. It's not overnight. It's a process. It's called sanctification. But one of how many can quote the scripture, which was the very first sermon? Because unless this took place, these people, their sins would remain upon them. It's right here. It's one of our key scriptures that we've had throughout our ministry here. Then Peter said to them, repent. Notice there's a sequence. There's an order with God. Repent has to come first. It didn't say, oh, just believe. Repeat a prayer with me. And that's cool. You can say a prayer. I've seen so many people come to an altar and say a prayer, and they still go home and live like the devil. Why? Because there was really not a heart change. See, God takes heed when that heart repents, when you surrender, when there's nothing else but God left. Because we've tried everything else, haven't we? Listen, I'm not going to knock the AAA programs and the 12-step programs, but I'm here to let you know all you need is one step, and that's to Jesus. Can I get amen? He will do the rest. He will do the rest. That's right. And so, then Peter said, then what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. You see, without the forgiveness of the sins, your sins will still remain. And this is the condition we see in this nation. We see people who, they invoke God, but there's no power in their life. Why? Because they're walking around with an unrepentant heart. And they're very religious, but there's no relationship with God. And in order to establish that relationship, there has to be a heart of repentance. You got to know that I'm wretched. I need you, God. You see, and only God can expose who you really are when you come to the cross. Praise God for the law. See, the law pointed out our sin, but it could not save us. We needed the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's got to be the blood. For the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Now, it continues in the next chapter. They stay with this theme. How it got distorted throughout the past 2,000 years, I have no clue. But praise God, we have a reference, don't we? We can always point and look back to look ahead. Look at this in Acts 3, 19, 21. He said, look, repent therefore and be converted. In order to be truly converted, there has to be repentance. So repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be what? Blotted out. How many are so blessed to know that your sins are blotted out? Come on. And guess what? He remembers your sin no more. Amen. It's cast from the east to the west. You know, I can remind you of your sin, and you can remind me of my sin, but God will never remind you of your sin. Amen. Can I get amen? Aren't you so blessed to know that? He won't try to blackmail you. He won't try to belittle you. That's not how God operates. He's holy, he's just, he's merciful. I'd rather serve a God that's just, that's gracious, and that's merciful. And that won't remind me of what I did 5, 6, 10 years ago and repeatedly reminding me. Come on, some of us have done some horrendous things. Some of us had to sit down. Some of us were told you could never do ministry again, blah, blah, and it's all blah, blah, blah. But guess what? God will raise you up. Stay humble before him. Stay humble before him. Have that contrite heart. Keep leaning on him. Don't lean on to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Let go and let God. Look at this. And that he may what? Send Jesus, who was what? Preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So if that's the beginning for the church, the ecclesia of the church, the birth of the church, why has it stopped today? If it was good for them, it's still good for us today. Can I get amen? Also, to embrace God's word is to teach us how to live a godly life. You know, it's easy to read God's word and say, okay, God, but to actually live it is another thing. Can you apply what you have read? Can you embrace what you have read? Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. You know, when you see the word, I beseech you, that means, hey, hold, slow down. I need you to see this. I need your attention right now. Look what it says here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, God is merciful, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Look, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is something that he expects from us now as children of the Most High. Can I get amen? He wants you to operate in your best. Not in perfection, just give him your best. Everyone has a level of best, but we're not perfect. Can I get amen? Look at this. Which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world. See, right now, this cancel culture is conformed to the world. This progressive left that wants to kill the babies in the womb. Did you know this? I'll just touch on this and then I'll keep going. Why was there more COVID deaths in New York than anywhere else in the United States? Because they passed the law right before the plague hit. They passed the law that a baby can be born and be sat next to the mother and decide whether we terminate this kid or not. And then when they passed the law, they were all celebrating. They were giving glory to the devil. We live in that culture now. This is why it's important for you and I to be about our Father's business. We need to be about God's business, amen? I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind. And the way you are renewed is taking in God's word and allow the Holy Spirit and the written word of God to transform your life by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you know that you are in the center of God's will? And guess what? God's will is perfect. With all of our hiccups and all of our, shortcomings, it doesn't thwart the plan of God for our life. It won't. We can't take God by surprise, but he takes us by surprise, amen? Because he allows things that we didn't think was coming. And then he takes glory when we defer it all to him. Oh God, I'm a wretch. I need your help right now. And it's also, saints of God, to equip us to serve the Lord. That's what embracing his word does. It's to equip us to serve him. It's great to have a ministry and we could come and, I attend Amazing Grace, but you're not serving me, you're not serving the church, you're serving the Lord. Can I get amen? You're serving God Almighty. Why? Because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You can just go back and remember the wretched days, the BC years. Remember those days? Oh, okay. None of you had BC years, huh? You were birthed with a new birth already. I don't think there's a John the Baptist in this room at all. He was the only one that was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Isn't that something? Praise God. But God has equipped the church. And look at Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? So we could just come and just have a good time? No, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's his body. And all he wants us to be built up in the faith, so that we would have an answer to every person who would ask you about who is Jesus. Can you explain to someone who Jesus is? So, my friends, look at this. We can trust that the Bible is the absolute word of God. Can I get amen? Can you trust that? Can you trust that God's word is absolute? Number one, it's timeless. It's timeless. And I got some scripture to back that up. Look at Psalms 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in forever. So you can't put a time on that. You can't put a time frame on it. It's forever settled. And there's nothing to amend. There's nothing. There's no addendum, no amendment. There's not a court on this earth that can reach the highest court, which is in heaven, to amend anything. It's already forever settled. Everything that we have here as a government, as a society, has been given to us by God. And we humans that are imperfect are doing our best. I gotta admit, this country, though, when it was founded, is the greatest country that has ever been risen up throughout history. Because it was founded on the Word of God. And a lot of those liberties are dwindling. So guess what's left? The true born-again church. The ones that still have a voice. The one that still will say, thy word is truth. That's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Gentile. No, to the Greek or Jew, and then to the Gentile. It's first to the Jew, then to us. Saints, the word infallible means incapable of error. If something is infallible, it's never wrong and thus absolutely trustworthy. Simply put, the Bible never fails. Can I get an amen? It never fails. Has the word ever failed you? No, it hasn't. Look at this. It's infallible. As I just mentioned, it's infallible. Praise God. Praise God. Look at that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise what? The simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Only God can open up your eyes. That's right. And what I mean by that, your spiritual eyes. Not your physical eyes. Some of us need already contact lenses and, huh? I need a light because it's too dark. But he opens up our spiritual eyes that we would see God. Can I get amen? And so, that's what infallible means. Now, the word is the revelation of the one true God. The word is. It's the revelation of the one true God. I quoted this scripture. Can you come up with that scripture I just quoted? Or is it already forever hidden in your heart when you share the gospel? You see, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and with faith with me, and without controversy. There's no controversy to this. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? Manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, and he was received up in glory. And when he went away, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts by faith. Praise God. You see, in this book, the Lord has revealed this book right here, the one that's on your lap, the Word of God that's on the screen, has revealed who he is and has provided answers and help for all our problems. How many of you have problems? Okay, I only saw one hand go up. I think we all have problems, don't we? I remember this old mother in Zion when I attended North Park Apostolic. Child, you got a lot of problems. Yes, I do. I got a whole bunch of problems. And I need Jesus. Can I get an amen? And so let's look at this. The Bible exposes man's sinful, hopeless condition. This is what I love about God. It's the only book that you can read that'll show you what's inside our heart. You know, you can read a lot of stories. You can get read fables and, this king and this prince and this great person and this wonderful professor. But guess what? In every heart, there's a dark place. Every heart. Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful, above all, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins. God knows already. That's right. And so let's look at what Isaiah 64, 6 says. Let's look at here. But we are all like what? Unclean thing. And all our righteousness are what? But filthy rags. And I don't want to go there to tell you what a filthy rag is. Is there children in here? Yeah, I won't go there. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. This is why we need a Jesus. Now look, I just quoted this scripture right here. The heart is deceitful above all what? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Man. You see, once you start understanding who we are, now we can learn to embrace the cross. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Because our heart is corrupt. Saints, God's word tells us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I get amen? We all understand that the wages of sin is death. Look at this. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Did you know that we're all going to give an account? I hope you know that. Now, those who are saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, praise God, we don't have to stand in front of the white throne judgment. Aren't you so blessed? But we will stand before the Bema seat of Christ. And we still have to give an account for every word and deed and everything that we said, everything we've done in this body. And the book of Corinthians says, and a lot of us are going to be saved just by smoke that's tailing us. Because everything's going to be burned through the fire. Can I get amen? Hey, listen, I just want to get in. Lord, I'm in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know? We're in. But how close of you that were maybe didn't get in? Praise God. Praise God. Now, look at this. Scripture is a trustworthy guide for daily life. I hope you know that. The other day I was asked, hey, when are we going to have a men's study? Pray that God will raise up a teacher amongst us. Amen? We had one that won't come back no more because they don't want to be around people. And I'm not going to say their name or anything, but they won't be around people, well, a gathering anymore. Fear has gripped their hearts. And you have to honor that. You got to learn how to just let that go. God, it's your church, not ours. And so we honor that. But what I love what Jesus said. He said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means what? Pass away. Did you know one day that this whole world is going to be melted in fervent heat? And God's going to renovate this world? Did you know that? He's going to renovate it. It hasn't happened yet. In 1 Peter, it says that the whole elements will melt in fervent heat. I'm so thankful that he's going to take us out of here before he does a renovation. Can I get amen? Praise God. You ought to be happy about that. Unless you want to stick around and ask him to give you an asbestos suit. Saints, God's words contains the answers to every problem. How many believe that? Situation or concerns that you and I experience in life. However, to benefit from God's guidance, we must be faithful to read his word. I hope you're reading it every day. How many of you can honestly say, I have a little devotional time every day with the Lord? And if not, let this message kickstart it. This is not condemnation. This should be edifying because God wants to have that quality time with you. I hope you know that. Listen, when you have that quality time with him, it's like a child running on, jumping on his lap. Yeah. Papa, Daddy, it's me again. I know I haven't been here in a while, but I love you. When's the last time you told Jesus you love him? Just you and him. No one around. I love you, Jesus. Amen. You see, my friends, the Word of God does something like this. It does this. Look, it shows us the consequences of sin. Aren't you so blessed that God tells you, hey, listen, there's a roadblock over there. Hey, there's a ditch 3 miles away. If you continue on this road, you're going to fall into the ditch. Aren't you so blessed that God pre-warns us of things in life? God tells us in his word, look at, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's like, wow, death, life. How many would rather choose life? Come on. That's right. Look what Ephesians 4:18 says. Look at this. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Listen, we're in that generation right now. It's an untoward generation. Every sexual perversity that is known to mankind is right now in our country. Did you know that the capital of pornography comes out of Simi Valley? Simi Valley. That's what we're living in today. This is why we have to be in the Word. This is why we need to be washed. This is why we need the Spirit of God living in us. Can I get amen? Because every one of us are tempted every day. There's not a day that goes by that we're not tempted. We're tempted by driving by and looking at a billboard saying, from the very beginning, the Lord warned Adam and Eve of the consequences of disobedience. He always tells us the truth, even when it's painful. And today, he still provides warning for us if we listen and take heed to them. This is how much God loves us. Listen, if he didn't care about us, he wouldn't put these things in the Word of God that we would take heed. Because he loves us. Look at this. God's word reveals his unconditional love for his children. Did you know he loves you unconditionally? Did you know that if you're a child of God, you know, listen, I grew up in two camps. What do I mean by that? First church I attended, they believed in the Arminian doctrine. I asked this one elder from that church, I'm not going to say his name. I said, okay, you're striving for perfection. You're being holy unto God. You're doing all the do's and the don'ts. You're doing all the ABCs, okay? And then for one moment, you had just a second of weakness and a thought of lust came into your mind. And then the rapture took place. Because of that one moment, are you cast now forevermore? Aren't you so blessed that it's not works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his mercy that he saves us? It's by the blood. The blood has sealed us. And even though we knock our head to and fro and we fail to hit the mark, God does not impute anything upon us that will cast us in there. Why? Because we are forever sealed by the grace of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Ephesians says you are sealed, and it's a guarantee, hallelujah, that once I called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, his marvelous light, you are forever his child forevermore. Can I get amen? Amen. It doesn't give us a license to sin, but guess what it does? It gives us a conviction to live holy and to live righteously, to know where he has called us from and where he has placed us now. Amen. He wants us to embrace the cross. He doesn't want us to run from the cross. He wants us to embrace the cross. That God will continue to work out all those issues of our life by faith. Because he loves us. He loves us. I got scripture to back that up. It's right here. Look, it's right here in Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Say that with me. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So come on. Somebody got to give him praise. Come on. If you can't clap about that, I don't know what will make you clap. You gotta say, oh God, I am so wretched, but yet this is what you think about me. This is how you view me. This is how you perceive me. Even in all the junk that's in us, even in the things that we want God to purge out, this is what he still thinks of us as a child of God. That's why there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You know, the devil will condemn you all day long. I'd rather have the conviction of God than have the devil condemn me. The devil will make you look ugly. He will. And guess what he wants to do? If he can slander you before other people, he's done his job. You know, you could slander somebody by someone just telling you about somebody, and that may not even be true. And all of a sudden, you got caught into that slander. Really? And then when that person walks into the church, you look at them like this. And they don't even know why you're looking at them with that evil grin. From a false accusation. And that's what the devil... Listen, if the devil can divide us up, he guess what? He has the church. He wants us at each other's throat. He doesn't want us to act in love and kindness like God wants us to act. And it's not an act that we put on. No, it's an actuality of what he's done inside of us. We can be great actors, but God doesn't want us to act. He wants us, hallelujah, to walk in the grace and the mercy that God has given to you and I. Do we deserve it? No, but we receive it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, God is sovereign. How many believe God is sovereign? This is in layman's terms. This is very simple. This is how you can explain the sovereignty of God to someone in the most simplest way. If my daughter was here and my son was here, I woke up in the morning. Anthony, I'm going to give you $50 today because I just feel like giving you $50. Sophia, I'm going to give you $100. He cannot say to me, hey, that's unfair. Why did you only give me 50? You gave her 100. I go, because it was mine to give. I chose to give her 100 and you 50. Can you receive that and be glad? You see, God in his sovereignty has called us. I got 11 brothers and sisters. I'm still waiting for the other 8 to get saved. But it's God's sovereignty that they're not saved just yet. I'm holding on. Oh God, save them. But when I see them face to face and they never get saved, I will know that it was his sovereign act. Can I get an amen? And there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing. But just receive. Listen, you ought to just rejoice he saved you. Can I get an amen? I know what he saved me from. What did he save you from? Aren't you so blessed that God won't put all of our sins on a screen? I'd be the first one out of here. Gone. Look at this. This is what you need to drive home. God's word reveals the 5 fundamentals of the Christian faith. If you could just know this, it's really simple. We teach these things in Sunday school. But sometimes adults forget. You know, we have a mind that easily forgets. How many believe that? Okay, Sister, what did you do yesterday at 2:45? This is why we gather on Sundays and Wednesdays, right? To be reminded of God's goodness, of God's grace, that we would be built up, that we would never forget. God continually told the Hebrews, the Israelites, never forget, never forget. And every time they had victory, they would always make a monument, a place of remembrance. Why? So they wouldn't forget. My friends, never forget what God has done for you. Never forget where God has brought you from. Never forget the time that you were so down and out, that you were lost without a cause. He saved you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get amen? Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Never forget. And so we have to understand, number one, out of the five, the deity of Christ, Jesus is God. There's so many religions out there that say, well, he's just the Son of God. No, he is God all by himself. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Corinthians, Ephesians, Timothy, we just read. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen amongst angels, received up in glory. He was God all by himself. We also must believe this. You need to explain the virgin birth, the immaculate conception. Can I get amen? You see, why did the Holy Spirit have to come and overshadow Mary? Why? Because it's the male that passes on the sin seed. And so a supernatural God had to come and overshadow her because there was no sin in God. Praise God. Isn't that something? Every human being that comes into this world is from the original Adam and Eve's sin. God had to interrupt that scene. No, I'm stepping in. Number three, the crucifixion of Jesus. It was his atoning blood. Without the blood, there is no remissions of sin. Can I get amen? And then, how many of you have been, it was an opportunity that you had been privileged to visit Israel? How many? And one of my favorite places is the Garden Tomb. Now, the British believe that is the spot. The Catholics believe it is the Church of, on the Temple Mount. I believe it's the outside place because right next to it, you see the skull.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we must believe always and explain. Number four, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he was raised from the dead? And he lives forevermore. He's right now, he's seated at the right hand of his Father. Praise God. And don't ever lose sight that he's coming again. For some churches, this is a fairy tale. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to blast them. I'm not going to tell you what churches they are. But I know of them that don't believe. They believe that they're all millennials. They believe it's just going to get really good and then Jesus will come. No. The Bible says he's coming with judgment. I hope you know that. How many believe that? Listen, if he judged our sin at the cross, he's going to judge the unbelievers when it's all said and done. The only thing with us, he didn't destroy us. Praise God. He saved us. And there's more to be saved. And one of the things that Scripture will do as we come in for a close, what I love about Scripture, it tells us how to handle temptation. I can, you know what? Listen. You can tell a 7-year-old, you need to sit down and be still. And so because you have the authority, they'll sit down. But in their heart, they're standing up. Did you catch that?
Yes.
We need God's word to help us when time, because the devil will try to come and tempt you all day long. Hope you know that. A lot of the temptation is in our home. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. My goodness. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. I've seen this happen so many times. People serving the Lord and they're on fire for God. Then all of a sudden, some uncircumcised Philistine comes into their life. This is from God, it has to be. And take them right out of the church. And it takes them from their call. Let me just say this. The enemy has been studying us for 6,000 years. He knows every crevice and crack in that armor. And he will do his best to penetrate that. If you're not girded up in truth. That's why we had to gird ourselves up in truth. You see, my friends, God's word assures us Christ's return and our future reward. Did you know that when Jesus appears and he takes us home, he's coming with his reward? What? That's right, and it's not going to be a Cracker Jack box with a little prize in it. It won't be that. He's going to reward everything you've done for him, everything you've said, the people you led to Christ, the way you've entreated your spouse, the way you've entreated and raised up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the way you entreated your boss on the job, the way that you've carried yourself in the sphere of your influence. Here's some of the greatest things that God has shown me. Every one of us has a sphere of influence. There's people in your life I will never meet, and there's people in my life you will probably never meet. But God has put a world around you, and God is now hoping that you would take heed to the things that you have been learning and to demonstrate them by faith to an unbelieving world. Because you can invite people every day. Come out to Bible study. Come out to the men's. Come out to the women's. Come out to Sunday. And yeah, how many times have they said, yeah, I'll see you there. Yeah, what time does it start? Okay, I'll see you there. And you look, and you keep looking at the door, and they're not there, right? That's okay. That's okay. Because the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. That's the only Jesus they're ever going to see. They may not be in a place where they can hear God's word, but they should be able to see Jesus in your life.
Yes.
And it should be something that they desire. First thing I do when if I'm walking through a mall, I'll see a Häagen-Dazs. Man, I want to go in there and get me an ice cream cone. I desire that thing. Well, when they see you, they should desire God.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen. Yes.
They should desire God. They should see the anointing on you. They should feel the presence of God upon you. There should be a difference in our life. Can I get amen? Praise God. But God's coming with his reward. Look at this, and I'll go quickly. God's coming with his reward. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is preparing a place for you. That's right, he is. Oh, that's right. Listen, as a realtor, I've been privileged. I've seen a $40 million home. We went on a tour a couple of years ago, a whole bunch of realtors, and we went into Rancho Santa Fe. But every one of those multi-million dollar facilities, I mean, they're huge. They have horse stables. They have basketball courts. They have movie theaters. They have 70-inch TVs in their bathrooms. They got swimming pools that start from the outside and they go into the living room. Guess what? They're all going to look like a dunghill compared to what God has prepared those who love him. Can I get an amen? He's gone away to prepare a place for us. Look at that. And I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Can I get amen? Praise God. Look at this. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward. Did you catch that? It's not going to be Walmart reward card or your Visa reward card. He will reward each according to his works. You see, when you're up here, worship team, get all of this. When you're up here worshiping with your whole heart, soul, and mind, guess what? He's going to reward you for it. Whether you get a dime or not. Why? Because he's looking for a heart that will serve him. He's looking for someone to labor in his field. And he's not going to forget your good works. Are you getting something out of this, Sonny? Or I'm just rambling? Jesus, in the Bible, also, as we close, he warns us of judgment. Oh, God. Oh, God. Look what it says. It is appointed for men to die once, and then after comes what? Wow. Okay. If you brought a bag of tomatoes, please don't throw them at me. Get mad at God's word. Because he said it best. We're just mailmen delivering the mail. It's up to you to open up the letter and read it. No one's going to put nothing down your throat and shove it down your throat. But God wrote it out clearly in the book of Revelation. And he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be what? My son. Look at this. Oh, here it is. So hold down the tomatoes, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral. You know, I had to look at sexual immoral because it talks about all these other things. Those are the homosexuals, the transgenders, and those who live together without being married. What? Yes, that's what it means. Sorcerers. You know, it's not Merlin with the magician hat that you see at Disneyland. Sorcerers. Sorcery is pharmakia. These are drug dealers and drug users. Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and with brimstone, which is the second death. You see, this is why you need to be born again. Once you're born again, God will... You ever play Monopoly? And you hope you don't land on jail? Because then you need to be bailed out, right? Well, guess what? God allows us to hop over that place of torment. Because we're his forevermore. Aren't you so blessed to know we're his forevermore? You see, my friend, Scripture reveals all future events with accuracy. The Bible is the indestructible word of the living God. Praise God. And Isaiah says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forevermore. Thank you, God. Look what 1 Peter says, and then we're closing. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God. We've been birthed out of the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as green, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and it flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord, say that with me, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So take this message. Take the things you've learned. Take the things that you learned over the course of your years of walking with Christ, and never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation. Praise God. And so I ask you, and I leave you with these questions. It is to be, the Word of God is to be believed, valued, and obeyed. How many believe that? Number one, are you thoroughly convinced that the Bible is the infallible Word of God? Praise God. Number two, if so, how is it impacting and transforming your life? And number three, if not, what areas do you struggle to believe and why? And we all struggle. But how many believe Jesus is coming again? Huh? How many believe Jesus is coming again? And he's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. Listen, you know, we just had a horrendous windy storm just a few days ago. But before the storm hit, I saw these clouds rolling, because I live by the coast, so you could see the clouds coming. And as I looked at the clouds, I said, oh God, are you going to be riding on that one? I'm ready. I want to be with you. I desire to be with him. Hope you know. Do you desire to be with him? I do. I want to be with God. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He said, look at what he said. He said, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so the God will bring with those who sleep in Jesus. Look at verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, meaning those who have died physically. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Therefore, frighten one another. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It says comfort. Comfort one another. Comfort one another. But there has to be a change. If I were to ask everyone in this room, how high can you jump? For me, 4 inches, maybe 5 inches. I know none of us have leapers like Michael Jordan, right? But guess what? Even as he goes up and dunks that ball, he has to come back to the ground, right? Because of what? Gravity. So in order to meet the Lord in the air, a supernatural thing is going to take place. We're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him. That's right. Look what it says here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This was all a mystery. We shall not all die, meaning we shall not experience physical death, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall what? Be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, this body we live in right now, it's still corruptible. Must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I need to ask this question. Are you ready? Okay, Sister Tammy's ready. Okay, I see another one. Are you ready? Are you ready to be changed, to be just like him? Huh? If you're not ready, don't let this happen, brother. Here I go.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Praise God. Praise God. I think you guys have a song for us, huh? Oh, amen. Well, listen. Real quickly, for those who are listening to this message, and I praise God for the internet family, but if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to cry out to God. Ask Him, oh, God, save me. No, ask Him to give you a heart of repentance that you can truly turn to Him. Because without God allowing you to turn, you're not going to turn. You got to cry out to God, God, mercy, God, grace, God, turn my heart. God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. Ask Him. Do what Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. If you're listening right now and God has got a hold of your heart, bow your heart and your head with me and allow me to pray for you. Remember that the prayer is not magical, it's not mystical. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will save you. And so pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you gave your heart to Christ, you can find us. We want to get a Bible to you, point you to the right church. Just all one word on your search bar in your computer or iPhone or whatever device you have. www.amazinggracechristianfellowship.com. You'll find us. We'll be more than happy to answer your questions, give you a Bible, point you to a church, and praise God with you. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We can't get no